And welcome back to Coast, Dr. Jerome Corsi with us. His new book that's out is called Silent No More. We will take calls with Dr. Corsi when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back, Jerry Corsi with us. We'll get to your calls this hour as well. Jerry, don't you wish sometimes you were just writing books about the atomic Iran or who really killed Kennedy and everything else like that?
Maybe, George, I should start writing novels. I mean, this is hazardous.
It's safer. It's safer.
Not safer.
Did the special counsel investigators directly tell you, Jerry, say this? Would you?
No, they don't do it that way. You know, they say they, you know, of course, want the truth and all, but it's apparent from the questions they're asking. I mean, they drill down the last 20 hours. This is why I wrote this book, Silent No More. You can judge for yourself because it's really firsthand exactly how it happened. They're pushing on and on. My lawyer says, just tell them, you know, just give them a name. Don't have a block. If you've got a name, somebody who connected you to Assad, just give them that name and they'll get off your case. And I said, I can't lie. I don't have any connect. I've never spoken to Assange. I have no emails. I can't connect Roger Stone to Assange because I don't know Assange or anybody connected to Assange. So it's just not true. And I'm not going to lie in order to save my hide. It's just, I'm not going to do that.
Is it your impression they're after Roger Stone primarily?
Yes. It was always Roger Stone, Julian Assange, Roger Stone, Julian Assange. I mean, they made me do all kinds of things, George. Aaron Zelinsky actually said, now, if you just put your mind back, you know, regress into 2016, and, you know, you're in Italy, and just you're Julian Assange, now, what do you see, and how did you find out, and who you're talking to? I said, Mr. Zelinsky, if you make me do this, I'm going to be starting to tell you that I was Alexander the Great in my prior lifetime. I'm not going to do regression techniques. I don't know Julian Assange, I said to him, and I don't know anybody who does. They made me go through, you know, I couldn't get all my phone records. Verizon wouldn't give them to me. I had to have a court order. The special counselor, I signed them over to the special counselor so they could get all my phone records. And I think from even NSA or from FISA, they had the contents of these phone calls. And they said, well, you're not going to find this contact in your phone calls or your emails that you had with Assange. I said, well, wait a minute. Why are we spending all these hours going through this phone call and that phone call? And how did I communicate with this person? By smoke signal? I mean, I searched through everybody that I knew that maybe this person, well, Dr. Corsi, that guy's dead. Don't blame it on a dead person. Okay. Dr. Corsi, you're sending up trial balloons. So I'm just trying to figure out if maybe I missed it. And one of these people I was communicating with was really the contact with Assange. And I didn't no, Dr. Corsi, we don't want you making up narratives. George, it became a nightmare. I couldn't answer their questions. By the time it was done, my mind was a mush. I said,
"Oh, no. I believe so." Jeez.
And read this book, Silent No More. You'll see what it was like to go through this.
Oh, I felt your pain in this book. I mean, you were. I got to tell you, you know, I've known you and I've known your books for years. This was not the same you. This one has really gotten to you.
It was like psychological. It's like I needed out. You know, do something to recover psychologically from the. It's like I felt like I was an American prisoner of war, the Korean War in the 50s, and I was being interrogated by the communist Chinese
and slapped around. In the Podesta emails?
Yeah.
What was so damaging to the Clinton campaign?
Well, it was really the what Podesta said. I mean, Podesta is a brilliant, brilliant guy, but he's also got a mean streak to him, and. They knew that Hillary was a bad candidate. They were worried about Hillary being sick. They couldn't control Hillary. They didn't like the Clinton Foundation. I mean, all the dirt came out in Podesta's emails because he was openly discussing these issues with campaign officials and the Democratic National Committee officials, and it was all the dirty laundry was being aired by Podesta. When the American people read this, I mean, I said, I knew Podesta, and when I figured out in July and August 2016 that Assange had Podesta's emails, I said, he'll drop them in October. That's going to be the October surprise. He'll do it day by day, and this is going to be an atomic bomb. I actually told Roger Stone that if the Democrats could figure out what I figured out, it ought to be like Thomas Eagleton in 72 when he had shock therapy. Democrats ought to just replace Hillary because what Assange is preparing to do with these Podesta emails in October is going to destroy Hillary's campaign. And I was right. special prosecutors just couldn't figure out how I knew that and figured it out on my own, and I explained it to them. Of course, they didn't want to hear it. Don't give us a narrative, Dr. Corsi. Don't make up a story. I'm saying this is the truth.
Don't you think Donald Trump would have won even without those emails being released?
I think so, George. I think it would have. The emails did help. Podesta's emails were very damaging to Hillary. But the truth was that
I think Comey was more damaging.
Well, yeah, I think so, too. And, George, I don't think Hillary ran a particularly good campaign.
No, it was horrible. Horrible.
I've been studying political campaigns since, Eisenhower. I was alive and I was a kid. I remember I've been interested in politics since I was 5 years old and watching it at a very high level since I was a child. And this was one of the Hillary's campaign was one of the worst campaigns I've seen in my life. Because a good campaign, you do what Donald Trump does. You get in there and you slug it away and you go everywhere you can go and you make your appeal and you appeal to the emotions of people and you give them a view of the future. Hillary's campaign was just negative. She was nasty. Her deplorables comments.
It was same old, same old.
And people have heard Hillary. The Democrats need a new face. They need a new candidate. And they need somebody with a vision, not just this negative resist. This is cancer for the Democratic Party, unfortunately.
Well, if you think you could get indicted, on what grounds? I mean, what's the evidence to indict you?
Well, there is none. In fact, I think that's I've done nothing wrong. And, George, over and over again, I was amending my testimony. The plea deal they gave me was on testimony before I amended it that they allowed me to amend. I said, they allowed me to amend this. I'm not going to go into a federal judge and plead that I knowingly and willfully deceived these people with information I knew to be false when I didn't do that, and this testimony was amended.
Do you think, in general, the special counsel investigation is warranted to try to get to the truth, regardless of how they're getting there?
Well, George, after 2 years and after nearly $40 million now, there is no Russian collusion. I mean, look, I knew Donald Trump's campaign, and it was not particularly well organized. I mean, I don't think they could collude with themselves half of the time.
I think they were shocked he won, to tell you the truth.
I think they were a little shocked they won. I don't think anybody expected it. But the American people have this, fundamental wisdom in their voting. If the elections are honest, the American people, whether you like the candidate or not, are making a very important choice in their voting. And, the country does go swinging left to right, which is healthy. And if the politics become criminalized, and which this is a dangerous process, if Donald Trump gains control of the Justice Department, the Clinton Foundation, the Strozek and Page, what I call the deep state running the State Department and running the Justice Department, the IRS, this could swing hard against the Democrats. And this is not a path to go down. This is going to destroy the freedom of our free speech, our ability to argue without criminalizing each other. George, I'm 72 years old. I'll go to prison the rest of my life if that's what it takes to expose that the Mueller investigation has become politically motivated and it's operating in a criminal fashion. No one should have to go through the KGB-like, Gestapo-like interrogation I went through when I was trying to help them. I turned over everything, and they treat me like a criminal.
Well, I'm sure they're listening to you on this program right now.
100%.
They're out there taking notes and everything else.
No, it's being recorded so they can study it to see if I say anything that they can then prosecute me for. Vengeful now. They hate me.
At what point did a warranted investigation start to change?
Well, a good investigation looks at the facts and lets their hypothesis form from the facts. These guys, Mueller, started out with a predetermined conclusion. There was Russian collusion, which was really an excuse that Hillary and Podesta created, I believe, to explain why they lost.
And initially, a lot of people thought when we heard collusion that they got involved with electronic voting machines and changed them all.
No, I mean, the Russians many countries tried to influence our elections, but their efforts were meaningless. They were frivolous. posting things on social media. There were millions
of fake news stories. Everything.
Millions of people posting things on this. You know, we have the First Amendment wants us to be robust and post and argue, and that we should be able to do this. But the fact that, you know, Donald Trump had to go to Russia to win the election is ludicrous. The Democrats, since, you know, 1917, have loved Russia. You know, suddenly Russia is no longer communist, and the Democrats are demonizing Russia. This is also dangerous. We need to talk to Russia. We need to talk to all countries. The president and the incoming administration have a responsibility to be dealing with Russia and China and all the other countries that are potentially adversaries to the United States.
Absolutely.
Part of the job.
Let's take some calls for you, Jerry. Let's go to Thomas in La Jolla, California to get things started. Hey, Tom, go ahead.
George, thank you for taking my call. And Jerome, it's an absolute pleasure. You know, your best book, in my opinion, was No Greater Valor. And you argued in that book that during Europe's darkest hour with the Battle of Bastogne, it was really determined in the hands of divine providence.
Yes, exactly.
Do you feel, and I thought this would be an interesting question, I so love that book.
It is.
Do you feel that the affairs of this nation currently, and perhaps even the affairs of one journalist, Jerome Corsi, are in the hands of divine providence?
I 1,000% agree with what you said. I feel like the hand of God is on me. I say, and I'll say it tonight, Jesus Christ is my personal Lord and Savior, and if I have to go to prison the rest of my life, I will not swear a lie before a federal judge and God. I did not do anything wrong, and I will not plead to a crime I did not commit in order to stay out of prison. I'll die in prison. My wife says to me, we're trying to plea deal. They said, no prison if you just agree that you committed this crime, and I didn't. My wife says to me, you know, Jerry, I'd rather visit you in prison the rest of my life than not have you be the man I married. And I don't want you losing your integrity by going in and lying to a federal judge and God. Well, you know, I've been married to this woman 27 years. And I wish I had another 27 years to be married to her. I mean, she's my Abigail Adams, and I can't thank her enough. That was the turning point when I, you know, because this destroys the family. Is Dad going to be in prison? Is he going to be arrested on Christmas Day? I can't say that I won't be. I can't tell the family that.
Yeah, but for what?
For nothing. Because I couldn't give Mueller what he wanted, and they turned this thing into a
did they think at any time, Jerry, that you fed the information to Julian Assange?
Well, no, they thought I knew what Assange had, and I told Stone, so Stone could tell Julian Assange. He could collude to, you know, take this information stolen by the Russians, which I don't believe the Russians had anything to do with stealing this information. The special counsel didn't want to hear any of that either.
But even if they did, you're a newsman.
Yes, I know.
Since when do you have to reveal your sources?
Well, I didn't have to, but, you know, I went in to say, look, I have nothing to hide. I don't know Assange. You'll search all my phone records, which they had, all my phone conversations, which they had, all my text messages, all my, you know, visits overseas, everything I've done. You've got all the records of it. They had an 8-inch binder there with my name on it. They knew about my life, every detail, my tax records, everything I've done. You know, they've gone and this week they knocked on the door of my stepson, who's 43 years old. He has his own business, his own home, and they said, "Are you Jerome Corsi's IT expert?" He laughed at him. He said, "You can't come in the house. I got two German shepherds in here, and they can taste FBI agent right now." He said, "Well, did you help Jerome Corsi, you know, wipe clean a computer?" He laughed at him. He said, "Yeah, that computer was a dead computer. It was packed with information. He wasn't using it anymore. I wanted to wipe it clean and use it in my mother's business." He said, "Well, does Corsi erase emails, you know, like I destroyed evidence?" Andrew said, "Jerry doesn't destroy anything. He's a pack rat. He keeps everything. That's the problem."
I know people who erase emails once a week. Because they don't want to load them up in their computer.
Of course, I did some of that. But, George, I had a time machine and an external drive where that application was backing up my computer four times a month in 2016 and 2017. I gave that to the FBI. I knew even if I erased anything, it was still in that time machine. I couldn't change the time machine. I had it on purpose to keep an archival record of what I was doing in those years, and I handed it over voluntarily.
I mean, is it your impression at all that they have anything concrete on President Trump?
Zero, zipola, nothing.
This is your guess? Or
No, I know it, George. From the way they were questioning me, they are now desperate. What did you say to this person on this date and this time? They've got down to that. I mean, I said, I can't tell you. I don't remember. You guys, why don't you show me the conversation? You've got the conversation. No, we can't show you, Dr. Corsi. You have to tell us what we have. Well, this is a memory test. I'm not going to play that stupid game.
Well, saying I don't remember is not perjury, Jerry.
Yeah, but see, George, they say, it's impossible you don't remember, they say to me. It's impossible. Well,
how do they know what your memory is like?
Well, George, the whole thing was like dealing with the Gestapo or dealing with the KGB. I went in to cooperate with them, and they treated me like a criminal. That's what drove me nuts and drove me, I said to my lawyer, I got to go over here and have a couple of martinis after this and smoke a cigar or do something. I'm going nuts. If I have to go back in to see these guys again, I'm going to need a psychiatrist.
Let's go to Stephen, truck driving in North Carolina. Stephen, go ahead.
Hey, George, good evening.
Hey there.
Jerome, Mr. Corsi.
Yes, sir.
I commend you. You are an American patriot taking one for the flag. I admire you for standing up to Mueller and this unconstitutional witch hunt he's performing. George and Mr. Corsi, I was born on 4th of July. And I went to elementary school in the 70s before the indoctrination and all this fleecing of America and forcing a false history. I know our history. I know what this country was founded on. And these things that are going on with the extreme liberal left and the deep state, and it's going to be a war. It's going to be a war of attrition. It's going to be a war of principle. And America will not be defeated. They can't defeat us.
I walk the ground to Arlington Cemetery when I'm in D.C., and half the time I'm crying. Think of all the men and women who have died for America, for the freedoms that we enjoy, which our Founding Fathers warned us not to have government become this big and powerful. And I can't believe in my heart that all these men and women have died on these wars and fought and bled so that we can throw these freedoms away.
And, Jerry, I got to tell you, by the time this investigation wraps up, we may be close to a 2020 election, and the American people are going to make their own minds up with who they want to vote for and who's going to be our next president, whether it's Donald Trump or somebody new. And it's only a couple of years away. We're going to be back with more of your calls and Dr. Jerome Corsi on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Dr. Jerome Corsi with us, our final segment, and your phone calls as well. And Jerry, good luck to you, by the way, during this entire episode. I know it's been trying on you and your family, and our prayers are with you, my friend.
Well, that means everything. That means the world to me, George, and thank you very, very much. And I want to thank you and your great staff, your great audience. God bless you all. It's been a tremendous opportunity to have this show to explain what I'm going through to the American people. And George, I've admired what you've done for years. I'm honored to be part of Coast to Coast.
Well, let's just hope this all works out for you. And again, the investigation should be a strong investigation to look for real, solid wrongdoing. They should not be going to the outskirts of what they've been doing. And it's just, this country needs to move ahead, Jerry. We're the laughingstock right now of the world.
Well, George, I've resolved to tell the truth and not to lie in front of a federal judge. As I said, I am very religious. Jesus Christ is my personal Lord and Savior. I'm here only for a very short time. I'll be gone, and I'll be judged eternally for what I do here. I believe that. And so, George, it has to work out well for me, even if they put me in prison the rest of my life, Because like my wife said, I'll go with my integrity. I am not going to lie in front of a federal judge to stay out of jail. They can put me in jail. If that's where the American justice system has come to, so be it. I'll die in jail.
Well, doggone it, Jerry, if you end up in jail, would you at least go where Sirhan Sirhan is so we can get an exclusive interview with him, too?
You count on it.
Remember, you and I were going to go to you and I were going to go to Cuba to try to get Castro before he died.
We should have done it, George.
I was so close to getting it done.
I know. I would have come with you in a heartbeat. I'll try to get him to put me in a prison where I've got a phone so I can contribute to the news segments on Coast.
We'll still use you, but I don't think that's going to happen. And let me ask you this before we take the final calls: if they said to you today, Dr. Corsi, we're just wiping the slate clean. Goodbye. Get out of our hair. Would you drop this $300 million lawsuit?
Absolutely not. I want the American people to know what's going on. I wrote Silent No More so you can sit there with me and see what we've got to stop this. We can't criminalize politics. We can't empower the Justice Department to be run by politically motivated prosecutors who are willing to do criminal acts in order to put innocent people in jail because they don't like their politics. We can't go down this path.
But you're not saying don't investigate.
No, investigate, but do it legitimately. Do it honestly. Let the facts determine the case. Don't spend $40 million in a never-ending investigation when there's no Russian collusion and there never was any, without investigating the other side, who get a pass on anything they do. This is just politics. It's wrong. Well, either side who does it, Democrats do it, Republicans do it, it's wrong. It should not happen in America. It's not what our founding fathers intended. It will destroy our freedoms, and we got to stop it.
Let's go to Keith in Virginia. Keith, take it away, sir.
Hi, George.
Hey, Keith.
Hi, Dr. Corsi.
Yes, sir.
It's really good to speak with you both again. And, George, thank you for having Dr. Corsi on about this and your other guests about wrongful convictions and injustice. And thank you so much, Dr. Corsi, for very publicly going on the offensive against criminal conspirators in government, not only for yourself, but for us. And I have a question and a suggestion for Dr. Corsi and also a related guest recommendation.
Sure. Go ahead, Keith. Of course.
Thank you. Dr. Corsi, last month on your Daily Live YouTube session that was linked to the Drudge Report, I think I heard you mention that famous quote, which starts with, "First they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out."
Yes.
"Because I was not a socialist." And then that quote ends with, "Then they came for me."
Yes.
"And there was no one left to speak."
Correct.
"To me." At least two of your friends, Roger Stone and your attorney, Larry Klayman, and other allies of ours are prominently listed coalition members of the freedomcoalition.com.
Yes.
And that began in January 2017 to help many other innocent victims of big government tyranny and bureaucratic abuse who are in federal prisons. And they all desperately need help directly from President Trump, the Attorney General, and other top officials in all three branches of government. And as you may know, our friend, Assistant Secretary of Housing, Commissioner of Federal Housing at HUD under Bush 1, that's Catherine Austin Fitz, said the government is organized crime. She experienced that herself for 6 years, I think at the cost of $12 million, to defend herself from the second Bush administration. And I first heard and learned that on this great show, Coast to Coast AM, from her with Ian Punnett. And I was so glad to meet Catherine and you, George, last year in L.A.
That's right.
And I have other whistleblower friends, even my brother, who have experienced severe retaliation by criminal government or by monopolists or others who control the government. And some of them guests and callers on Coast to Coast, Sherry Peel Jackson, Ann Blake Tracy, and others. And these whistleblowers have been stripped of their earned credentials. They've lost work and income. Some have been incarcerated. And my friend Thomas Rogers was the victim of two retaliatory assaults in Washington, D.C. And that was as a result of, it was attempted murder that resulted in some paralysis and almost total blindness because of his life-saving warnings that were later vindicated by GAO and the CDC. And he's got that at gasinamerica.com. But, Tom spoke with you Dr. Corsi and George, you as well, last March. And he also spoke with Roger Stone in person at a Utah Libertarian Party meeting. And Roger, as I mentioned, is a coalition of the freedomcoalition.com, and he's publicly advocated for the Bundys and the Nevada ranchers, and their allies who were unjustly incarcerated. And just tonight I spoke with Sheriff Mack, and he's the founder and director of the Freedom Coalition. And
can I jump in here for a minute? Look, I agree with exactly where you're going, and out of this may come hopefully a greater awareness of what our founding fathers warned us of, and that is, you know, we become what our founding fathers rebelled against. We become government too big, government too much power, that can persecute people, especially people who resist or tell the truth or blow whistles. And, you know, it's hard for me to see how this is going to – this is so traumatizing to be in the position I'm in and experiencing what I'm – it's hard to see beyond it. But if I get an opportunity, there's going to be a number of people, I think, who are currently in federal prison whose cases need to be reexamined for prosecutorial misconduct. And I'd recommend everybody read a book by Sidney Powell called License to Lie, which takes on these exact federal prosecutors who were in the special counsel's team for abuses, massive abuses. And I can list a whole number of cases. One of the special prosecutors who was dealing with me, Andrew Goldstein, was part of Pret Bahar's team. I kept asking him, let's talk about Billy Walters. Billy Walters is a gambler who was convicted by Pret Bahar of insider trading. I don't think he did it. For 4 years, Pret Bahar had FBI agent Chavez, who leaked grand jury information systematically to the grand jury, from the grand jury, the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. That's core. I've got evidence that was done by Mueller. We've got emails that show Mueller's team meeting with journalists in restaurants in Washington to leak grand jury information. It's got to stop. That's part of my $350 million suit. That's going to be heard by the U.S. federal judge on the 3rd of January. I'm going to be there. So I appreciate you bringing this up, and I do want to champion others who have suffered from government abuse. I think it's become a massive problem in the United States, and it'll become worse if we continue to allow our government to grow with these unlimited powers. It's got to stop. We've got to go back to the Constitution and to our fundamental freedoms. Thank
Keith, the essence of time, I got to take a few more other callers, and thank God you weren't invited to a consulate like Khashoggi was, Jerry.
Well, I mean, you know, George, it's a nightmare, and that one also deeply disturbs me. Another journalist who was brutally murdered, but we don't want to get into that in detail tonight, George, but I'm deeply disturbed by that case as well.
Next up, let's go to Mayotte in New York. Hello, Mayotte. Welcome.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen, and I want to have some pushback for balance, if you will.
Sure, go ahead.
First of all, the reason why the felony campaign finance violations are so important, you want to have free and fair elections. You know, Trump needs to shut his mouth. He's his worst enemy because he was actually caught on tape. Now he's in the room paying, you know, the women. And being that he actually squeaked by with the Electoral College, which is something we need to look at because we basically think that it's one person, one vote, but not in the presidential election. If that had come out, okay, the Democratic emails kind of obscured the Assess Hollywood tape, so he very well, and he wasn't even planning to win, and he doesn't seem to fit in the role in so many ways. But my question to Jerome Corsi is, I saw you on Ari Melba last week, and I'd like you to speak basically talking about the difference between being a political operative and what would be lies. I don't remember the exact words, but that was what basically came out. And the last point is first of all, it's come out that Trump was trying to do a Moscow Tower up through June of 2016. The problem is, and what might explain Helsinki is that he was telling us that he had no involvement. You know how he goes on. And at the same time, the Kremlin, because the Marriott doesn't deal with the Kremlin in these type of situations, at the same time, Putin knew he was lying, and it's a national security issue when he can hold, you know, he can sort of manipulate and control you by knowing you lied about his trying to make hundreds of millions of dollars. The greed is the issue, and at the same time, offering Putin with his criminal partner, Felix Sater, look these people up, offering Putin a $50 million penthouse. And I'll listen over the air. I appreciate getting through and having some balance and pushback. We're in danger.
We don't muffle by that. As long as you call courteously, you get on the air. Go ahead, Jerry, if you want to react.
Well, this is not about Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. What it's about is, you know, my case, I think, demonstrates that this is about the corruption of our politics. We cannot have a criminal justice system that is politicized to go after, to try to criminalize our political opponents who we dislike. If they've committed a crime.
Would that be, are you talking about you specifically in this case?
No, I'm talking about, I don't want people going after Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump or anybody else on political grounds.
Now, what do you mean, though, by political grounds?
In other words,
merely because of their views?
Their views. We don't like.
No, I agree with that. But if they broke the law.
If they broke the law, it's a different issue, George.
Exactly.
And okay. Reasonable investigations, not prolonged investigations that have a predetermined collusion. And, you know, that's why I wrote this Silent No More. Look at how I was treated in this investigation.
Well, I think the mistake the special counsel has done, my guess, is they should have months ago, after spending $10 million instead of $40 million, simply said, we don't have information based on what this was brought to us for to start. We're ending this. We just don't have anything. Now, you know, we're not going to get into Manafort or Flynn Cohen or whether they paid some woman to shut her mouth up. We're not going to do any of that.
No.
You assigned us to investigate Russian collusion. We can't find anything. It's over.
And George,
that's what should have happened.
I agree. And I'd add, let's get a special counselor who has not got a horse in the race, who has not had a history of, you know, working with the deep state, as I accuse Mueller of doing. Let's get one who's going to investigate both sides. I tried to explain people I was talking to and, you know, how I also figured out that Huma Abedin was sending her emails to her Yahoo account. Well, the special counsel said, we don't want to talk about that. We don't talk about anything Hillary Clinton. We're not interested, Dr. Corsi, in any of that. Well, I want a special counselor who is interested in both sides equally, and we'll look at crimes on both sides. And I warn everybody that criminalizing politics is a bad idea. That it's really, you know, high crimes and misdemeanors was meant to be an exceptional.
It's a dangerous idea.
It's dangerous. It's what destroyed the Roman Republic. It will destroy the First Amendment. It will destroy our constitutional freedoms. Let's not go down the route of censorship and making people we disagree with politically into criminals. Let's continue to disagree with them politically.
And the day comes where a news person has to reveal his sources, we're going to lose a lot of investigative reporting. Jerry, stay in touch with us. Good luck, and it's good to know you're back available to do some news inserts with us. We shall be back in a moment as we talk about the wonders of hypnotism next on Coast to Coast AM.